Greetings, fellow Christian Americans, from the Tate Ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ Christians, located in Lancaster, California. Again, we greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, before whom every knee will bend. How blessed we are as individuals and as a nation to be the inheritors of the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Also, how great is our responsibility, because we were given the duty to occupy until Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My mind travels to God's creation of the world, and I hear Him saying, "It is good. It is very, very good." The mess we are in has been man-created. The earth about us is a thing of real beauty. We as the body of Christ have been negligent in occupying. We have let the enemy come in and take rule over us. He has caused hatred and wars, sickness and crime, poverty amid plenty. We toil and slave, man and woman alike, 5 months a year, just to keep in power the enemies of Christ, who have life and death control over our lives. As I listen to the recorded lectures by Dr. Swift, I feel so grateful to Lorraine Swift for keeping up the Tate Ministry. When one works all day to keep body and soul together, and then spends evenings and days off preparing and mailing tapes, surely it is a work of deepest love and dedication. Such has been Lorraine's life since the passing of Dr. Swift. Thank you, Lorraine, and thank you, the listeners, for your faithful support, prayerfully and financially, down through the years. Without your help, the Tate Ministry could not have continued. Today's talk by Dr. Swift upon a subject that I feel we are all looking forward to. The subject, Help from the Heavens.
And I do need to tell you, Father, as we come before thee to worship you in truth and in grace, to pray that you will grant unto us the realization of our relationship to thee, the mighty purposes of thy universe, to unto us the scope of the vastness of thy creation, of all that you have placed within us, which is kindred to us and the purposes that you have for us. Cause us to recognize that we are not alone, the rest of the catastrophes which envelop this planet, but that we are the children of thy purpose, and that you have great power and grace for us, which is operating for the preservation of our kingdom, the awakening of thy people, and the accomplishment of thy purpose. Grant unto us, O God, that we shall with faith and with understanding accept the assurances that you have given unto us, strengthened by thy word, recognizing our responsibility as thy household and our destiny as thy kingdom in the earth to accomplish thy purpose. We pray tonight for the binding of all the powers of darkness and all the forces of evil. We pray, our Father, for a broad stimulation among thy people everywhere, that they shall come out of their seats to do thy will. We pray, our Father, as we meditate upon the things through which we pass, that thy promise and thy assurance is for the deliverance of thy household, and thus with the events that are happening all over the world, bring us to the realization that we are in the most interesting and most important thing that you've given us for, as you have determined to accomplish thy purpose in this hour. That we pray for the spirit to settle thy kingdom thyself. We pray for the nations of thy kingdom. We pray, our Father, that in this hour we shall see the great manifestation of thy sons and thy daughters with glory and with victory, and that we shall know that for which we have prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I never ask it. Amen. So, moving to our subject, deliverance from the heavens. Well, there is no doubt in my mind that we have arrived at one of the great and important periods, one of the most exciting spectacles in our human history. We're again about to see all the hand of divine energy and power lifted for the protection of God's kingdom. We soon then see forces out of the dimensions of spirit and out of the warriors of creation, even beyond the ramifications of our own solar system, become involved in human affairs. The majesty of such a spectacle is beyond even our abilities to now evaluate, because we have not experienced these things within our recollections. So we have beheld the massing forces of the Most High for ages before we dwelt in this earth where we now dwell. There are certain things that require and demand that there be a great call by God's people for such an hour. I just had called to my attention a very disturbing factor which should require all of the legal abilities of those associated with the church and with the kingdom of God to so act. I happen to have to ship the paper from the prophetic Cairo, which is published in Spokane, where he's been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and which church has been existing for some time. And in the carrying on of the conduct of his ministry, like every other kingdom minister, he would be impelled to recognize the violations of divine law that take place on national level. And as such has been, like other kingdom ministers, aware, and in his kingdom, Deacon Harold has mentioned, the violations of divine law in joining ourselves together with pagan countries and evil forces such as the United Nations. And so he has denounced both the United Nations and the mongrelization of our society and a number of other things which would be expected from any prophet which taught the doctrine of God's kingdom. I am just holding in my hands now his report. The following September 7th issue of the Prophetic Herald, that he was notified by the Internal Revenue Department that although you state that your magazine is religious in nature, and copies provided this office show the parts of the magazine, however, devoted to political, social, and economic essays, subjects dealing with the United Nations, constitutional amendments, and coexistence. In view of the foregoing conclusions of your magazine, it is the conclusion of the Federal Internal Revenue Office that federal income tax on your organization must be paid. And the Internal Revenue Code, therefore, concerning this income tax return, which must be filed during the period of all in existence, all contributions to you will no longer be deductible, charitable contributions by donors under Section 170 of the Code. What is there left for the church to do when it cannot denounce the forces of evil, the errors that take place in its nation, or fulfill the instruction of God to denounce this pagan situation? Now, whereas this is levied against this organization of Mr. Shipley's, and basically because he publishes a paper, in which paper he has openly criticized the United Nations and every other public program that needs criticism, now the Internal Revenue have come back upon him to take revenge and have taken away all tax exemptions from his paper and therefore from his organization and such. Now the fact remains that while we do not have all the ramifications of this fact, it is essential that we recognize that the Catholic Church has always reserved the right in dealing with its parishioners to discuss with it or to oppose any political or social or economic development which to them is against canon law and to which to them is diametrically opposed to the position of the Church. I'm not here to argue politics or divisions between Protestants and the Catholic Church, but in all of my life, the Catholic Church has been carrying on this function, and I have ample evidence to prove, and I think it is within its own right to so do so, to, as a relation to prisoners, to speak out against that which it opposes. And we also, as Protestants, have equal right to speak out against that which we are opposed to, and we have the right as Christians and as ministers of our truth to say, thus saith the Lord, when the content of the Scriptures and the Word oppose the thing it's done, whether the nation goes along with this evil or not. I'm going to recommend before long, before our staff and faithful leaders, that the proper legal advice be given in this matter, because I think we can lift this situation, or else we can upset it, so there will be great rise to the colors by Catholics and Protestants, because if this rule is applied, then no church would have the right to any more advise its people on the basis of thus saith the law, Lord, or condemn such fallacies as the United Nations, or such fallacies as the programs which have been undertaken in the social revolution to mongrelize God's kingdom and to violate as well. The church is one institution that is supposed to be completely exempt from pressure or control by the federal government, wherein the operations of its duty is speaks out on the things that its clergy feels is vital for them to speak out on. I think if they want to start in taking away the tax exemption status, they should move in on churches of the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterians, and every other denomination where that minister is a communist, supports the principles of communism, and opposes things to the vital interests of the United States government. And I know of red ministers in the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church that should be defrocked and would be better in a concentration camp. What they do not know is that when they start this, though there might be no particular organic unity between the clergy and the gospel of the kingdom with their very organization, there is one thing that they can't do. You start attacking the truth and the rights of men, and you're going to attack something that's like raising a red flag before the bull, because the kingdom of God is not going to stand still for this kind of pressure. Tomorrow, maybe, and probably is, when it's being reported back on this situation. Move this well, that it will bind the powers of darkness and call for the judgments of God upon the operators and those that participate in that kind of activity. And they can move out of the scene just as quickly as anybody else. You're living in a time when the power and the word is not only in I am, you and I now, but the ministries of God's kingdom and the churches of Jesus Christ have the power and the authority, and they can bring the blast of heaven down upon their opponents. You think that this is not true, then I'll tell you this is the challenge of this hour. It is only one thing that I would advise. Never at any time during the ministry of carrying on the battle against God's kingdom, don't temporize. Don't at any time permit any part of the enemy to come through, and don't at any time say, well, some of them may be good. Your own weakness can be in temporizing at any time. It is the policy of this platform and this pulpit and this gospel of the kingdom and in this church of Jesus Christ to oppose evil regardless of where it raises its head, in government or out of government, or as it relates to any race or any plan or any conspiracy that is against the word of God, the kingdom of God, and your race. And all of it will back up that position. So there's no doubt that we are in one of the most serious of our history. When I say that, it is because every political force in the world active and working for survival is lining up now between the two forces which are in struggle for the world. If you think tonight that you're not engaged in a war, you're very foolish. When General Walker resigned from the Army last week with his great and wonderful patriotic statement of why he must resign so he would be free from their pressure, even as a retired officer, to battle out what he thought was necessary for the survival of our nation and warning our society, he said, we are already in war and we're losing it. Of course, what is the spiritual side of this, which is very strong? We are at war and we are at the present time losing as far as the temporary situation is concerned, but this is just a skirmish in the middle of the battle. And when we have consummated the events which are ahead, we are going to win this war, and we are going to defeat the powers of darkness and all who serve them. And men like General Walker will have their names written in the shields of glory, for they stand against the powers of darkness, and the little men that sought to remove him from his command, his division in the Pentagon, in government, or anywhere else, will no longer be remembered by the peoples of the nation. Well, I want you to know that these who understand and know will tell you we are in war. And the way wars are conducted in past history is that a nation puts all of its efforts to winning it. It is essential that we win this struggle. And it's essential that we apply ourselves to the principles by which victory can come. We must eradicate the power of the enemy in every branch of government and every community of these United States. And we must leverage influence from the conduct of our international, internal, and social affairs. We must liberate our society from the pressure, the propaganda, the brainwashing, and these phases of war which are directed against us. We must elect in these United States as a Christian responsibility, Christians who believe in the destiny of the kingdom of God on the face of the earth and know what they mean when they say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. After all, most Christians say that prayer. There can be no activity of judgment taken against you by anyone that's trying to fulfill that prayer. A great number of people have been waiting for the kingdom to come, and we were told to build it. The time has come when we must participate in bringing in the thing that God has said, I have put in your hands. The word is nigh unto you. It's even in thy mouth. It's at thy command. It's by thy faith. And we have spoken now when this is the most important for us to know. There is no question when I tell you how the world is lining up, how the neutrals are actually on the side of our enemies. We only remain neutral to take money out of our pockets, and we have today the funny-minded new frontier, which fulfills basically what Christ talked about when he says that there are people that are neither hot nor cold, but at the same time, they do nothing for the kingdom of God. They would be spewed out of the mouth of God as having any value to his kingdom. But strangely enough, that frontier becomes basically the same frontier as the socialist revolution. Now we point out to you that under this situation, what we are being told is the national way of our life is not according to the background of our origin or our constitution. I think we are in the middle of a great internal struggle for America, and many people have not taken this as seriously as they should.
It is most essential that all Christian churches with vision and faith, now with understanding of the destiny of God's kingdom, marshal their power and take every avenue to obtain victory in these United States. Of things that it is not moving backwards. One of the leaders in the Republican Party made a statement the other day to demonstrate he's been brainwashed and he needs his own head examined. He said what the extreme right and these conservatives had better find out is that never is the stone of destiny rolled backwards. And what they don't like and what is liberalism is a new sociological responsibility to distribute the wealth over the world and to see that everybody prospers, and they will not be able to roll it back. So the conservatives better get in, join the major parties of their choice, and help roll the stone forward. Well, that's a pretty clever piece of satanic propaganda that has been rolled up in his mouth. No Republicans, some of them are just as bad as the Democrats, who are just as bad as the rest of the socialists in the world. That doesn't mean all Democrats and all Republicans are, because all of you are more or less one or the other, not because of support for what the party now stands for, but in belief in the traditions of what they once were. Now, I want you to know tonight that we are in one of the most unusual periods of history. Because all over the world, while men are talking peace, they're also talking war. While they play house in the United Nations with conventions, peace treaties, disarmament conferences, they're building the mightiest nuclear war machine on the face of the earth. In fact, we are now planning on even unwise tactics. They have produced atom bombs, hydrogen bombs, cobalt bombs, where the fallout is so deadly that it wipes out the life and almost the areas where it falls or passes. But even we now are moving into a new area. We're moving into a bomb whose range is not altogether controllable. We're manufacturing now and spending money on a neutron bomb. The difference in a neutron bomb, when it's exploded high in space with a great nuclear flash, there's no great detonation that destroys all of the cities or the community, but out of it comes a light. The vibrations of which destroy all human life that are within the realm of its vibration. Leave the building standing, not contaminated, not touched. A few days later, they will be occupiable, but human life will have been destroyed with all the nervous systems of men broken apart, and their life snuffed out by a neutron bomb. Now, we are developing this weapon because we believe the Russians are working on one as well. So you see, very, very frankly, if the world would continue at the course that the way it's now going, and if by the very strategy of your enemy you find yourself compelled to equal his destruction, the world would find itself destroying itself in the guise of defense. Now, you can say, well, Chuck, you have to worry about that. No, you don't have to worry about anything, but you might as well understand the fact that if the way the world's going, if they were able to accomplish the devastation that they're designing and the means of death which they're preparing, there wouldn't be anybody left on earth to write about it in years to come. You understand why the scripture says that God says the time must be shortened for the elect's sake. Now listen, the time must be shortened for the elect's sake. A divine intervention and great weight of spiritual energy that will fall upon the earth to create activity in the minds of the children of God, to get them to take political, social, and definitely spiritual action, to get them to take the proper military steps, to get them to do things right, is going to take place. More than that, from the areas of space is going to come the great intervention. We're going to see heaven take a hand. Mighty hosts of beings in our universe are going to become involved because God said, I am going to shorten these events for the elect's sake. He's not shortening it for application, he's shortening it for you. You don't like that? I do. Someone says we shouldn't talk about a chosen people or a select race or a master race of the earth. Why shouldn't we talk about it? Because the brainwashed don't want us to? Why shouldn't we acknowledge what God's already said? Don't we create the book? It tells me that you are not only the apple of God's eye, you're the treasure hidden in the field, which is the world. He'd give all Africa and Asia for you if it was necessary. Now, don't go out of your remaining for Africa and Asia, because they're not remaining for themselves. Well, that boy later heats you up. Right. Maybe not Asia, but Africa will. By the time Asia got through with all their yogis and hypocrites, they'd have you reduced to slavery. They're not smart enough to keep themselves from falling into the grips of world communism, but join it. And the strange pattern of the Oriental is that we're even buy a ticket to see an executed grandfather because he's too old, and then ask for his money back if it rains. There's a difference between you and the Asiatics. There's a difference between you and Africa. And we recognize that difference, and we would do everything within the power that shall be unveiled in the kingdom of God to put Africa and Asia in proper relationship to divine law and to develop capacities that they can't develop for themselves without your guidance and assistance. But we're not ready, under the plans of the Antichrist, the powers of darkness, to be rolled into one cosmopolitan mass in which you absorb and reduce the slavery by the powers of evil.
Forces of the world order, however, have decided that they can wipe you out and retain some semblance of survival. Only 2 weeks ago, from the Congress of Communist China, before it went over to attend the 22nd Annual Communist Convention, they said that if they could help to stimulate a world war at once between the forces of communism and the capitalist world in the United States, they were going to do that because they said there are so many of us scattered over such a wide area of the steppes of China and Asia, is that though we were all 30 or 40 million people in this struggle, we would destroy millions upon millions in America and throughout the nations of the capitalist world. Inevitably, because of our numbers, we would win. If there were only a third of us left, it would be worthwhile, for we would win. And they are willing to take that gamble, and they are trying to urge the communist world to participate in it once. Someone said that the truth said there's a little more cunning than this. He doesn't want to become involved in a war that might cost half of the Soviet Empire. But Mr. Khrushchev is also built up with an egotistical concept that he can strike suddenly a surprise and treacherous blow while we're trusting in peace or disarmament, and so disable us that we wouldn't render him such a destructive blow, but we would be destroyed and reduced to slavery. This is his plan. Now, it doesn't make a difference what he says or what Mr. Kennedy says he says. It doesn't make any difference what he says or what our State Department thinks he means. The fact remains that the Bible reveals are going to make a sudden and treacherous attack against the nations of God's kingdom. Now, when we have leadership that can no longer see the handwriting on the wall, and even though they certainly do not trust our enemy, if they really trusted the enemy or the outcome of talk with him, or they really believed that world disarmament conferences were going to be the result and the peace was going to come, they wouldn't be preparing to spend billions of dollars on air raid shelters, would they? In fact, every country in the world, including Russia, is building as fast and as friendly as possible air raid shelters, which proves that they know that they're going to end the war. Each one thinks he's going to hit first and knock the enemy out, except our politicians. And so we will retaliate. I'm not interested in any military reason to talk about the retaliation strike. I'm only interested in a general who's smart enough to know that we must win by striking the enemy who deserves it now. When the government attacks the clergyman because the clergyman doesn't believe in coexistence, it's time we reconstruct the government. Your destiny, my friends, is not coexistence with evil, nor appeasement to it, nor living in fear, nor groveling in order to survive. We have reached one of the great historic hours. In fact, for a period now that reaches back to 1954, but in the last 7 years, a lot of things have happened in the earth, whether you realize it or not. You realize in that last 7 years that you, as a race of people, have ample evidence, even if you are not a theological student, that you were not dwelling alone in the universe. You've had ample evidence that in the last 7 years that the evolution was not the origin of peoples on the face of the earth, and that you are not just one of the winds of nature, and here upon the earth evolved and developed what we call the human race, and that you all come from various forms of that evolution. And therefore, this is the only place where there's life like there is on earth, and it came out of a billion to one chance. But you know that the evolutionists today are faced with the mathematical factors which even computing machines have piled up for them, and the mathematical factors are so great that they've come to the conclusion that it would be almost mathematically impossible to have expected that evolution works anywhere else in the universe. So they are forced to come to the conclusion that this may be the only place it's inhabited in the evolutionary thinking. Well, the fact remains, of course, that this isn't the only place it's inhabited. And, of course, there's no evidence any longer to support any intelligent person believing in evolution. For in even the last 3 months' time, we have had the supporting evidence of the fact that intelligent men that wrote, that painted, that made implements with which they hunted, in which they lived on the earth 1,750,000 years ago, and before the period in which the animals from which we were supposed to evolve have been classified as living. So in other words, you have lived in a period of time, intelligent life on the earth, that upsets the evolutionary scale of your decay. In fact, there is no doubt that there have been intelligent people coming and going from this earth all during the period that was being constructed and creations were being placed upon it. So when the Father was creating the things that are in this world, you were here watching it.
You say, how do you know? Because you assumed that his spirit was with him before the world was framed, and when he spake to Job, he said, son, remember it in these things. I call them to your recollection. I stimulate your spiritual consciousness well in this body to remember. Now, I am not unaware tonight that the world is in a more serious circumstance than a lot of the people flitting up and down the broad ways of our nation, amusing themselves with every temporary amusement and blinding themselves to reality, understand. I am aware that there are a great number of people filled with ambition and already exploding by their vaunted pride for attainment, standing in the halls of government and positions of responsibility in Washington and in the state capitals of our nation. I am aware that many people were not interested in anything but their own personal ends and engagements, employed in the vast rush of development and the many avenues of development and defense and industry, they're only interested in the paycheck and the things that will buy, the pleasures it purchases, and pay little attention to where the world's going or what it is that's taking place. I know that these people are asleep. I am not condemning these people to eternal catastrophes of judgment, but I am telling you that they're going to wake up with great suddenness one of these days to know that they're in the midst of the most earth-shaking events of all history, and they don't know what it's all about. I want you to know that a fifth of America is waking up to its problems, is waking up to the inner menace inside these United States, and something that threatens all the Christian world. And among that one-fifth of awakening Americans, there is also a great number of people because they have been made to know the instruction of God's way of the world, because their ministers and their contacts in this time have spoken to them concerning the truths of the book. They're aware of more knowledge and more truth of the things of God than any other denomination. And I'm going to make this statement tonight. With anyone who knows what you know about the gospel of the kingdom, anyone who knows what you know about your race, about God's covenant with it, about the nations of the right race and destiny, anyone who knows about who the enemy is, where the Jews came from, and what they stand for, anyone who understands this knows more than all the Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, preachers, and all the rest of them in the United States put together. And I tell you that with the exception of such clergy within these churches that may know some or part of what you know. You say, why is it? Because you have the unlimited expanse of the ability to believe God in things which He said, and you are not limited, my friends, by the perimeter of one book, but by all the revelation which God has poured out. I want you to know tonight that probably to be free from all the control of all the religious hierarchies that bind down men's minds is one of the first keys to human liberty. There is such a thing as being set free in God, but not being set free out of Him. But don't think everything that carries His name is in Him. I want you to know that tonight the most important problem of our time, from the standpoint of earth logistics, would be the survival of our race. I am confident that in annihilating destructive power, the ingenuity of the scientists of our country, by vision inspiration, though they may not understand for what are capable of defending and defeating an enemy. But I am aware that the intrigue that has taken place within the services and within the branches of government could make much of this victory almost unworkable unless the miracle of eradication of evil takes place, and unless America gets busy in separating the powers of darkness out of our services and our branches of government. I'm aware that it would be an almost Herculean task for you or any company of experts, including even the Un-American Activities Committee, for which I have great respect, or for the Internal Security Committee or the Justice Department. It would be a Herculean task for them if they were given the next 30 days to do it, to pick up every agent of the enemy, every conspirator, everybody who delivers into the hands of the enemy, and put them in the proper locked-up position they belong in. Concentration camps, if you will, at any place to concentrate the enemy in the hour of need. I tell you that it would be a Herculean task to do it in 30 days. You say an attack could come at 0 hour, any time at the calling of the enemy. We wouldn't have 30 days. No, but I tell you what you would have. Even as you have seen His angels charged over you. Even as that is a guardian angel of the ministry of spiritual power at the service of all of God's children. Even though you may not know it, but in this very room you are surrounded by a great company of witnesses. And I want you to know that in dimensions unseen to the natural eye, but visible to your spiritual eye, if you will reach to behold it, as was the servant of the prophet when he said, open his eyes, Lord, that he might see. And you would prove that while standing by unlimited forces from spiritual dimensions. Everyone in a while will meet somebody who says, I am so practical, and I am absolutely unable to believe anything I cannot see, and therefore I can't build or believe that there's anything around that I can't see that can do me any good if trouble comes. Someone said, I want you to prove they're aware. My friend, you don't have to prove they're aware. Anybody that doesn't have the capacity tonight, or is not stimulated tonight by what God has already said and by what He's already demonstrated, isn't worthy of your support. You don't have to lift from Him the doubt. Just go on down the road. There are plenty that are willing to believe the truth. Because if these fellows want to suffer without any explanation, let them suffer. Because the person tonight that dwells in the earth without God, and he thinks he's going to win all this thing by his own material ability, he's going to find himself in a very serious trouble when he tries to develop a way to accomplish it. The only reason I know how bad it is because I know how bad everybody reports the conditions are in their departments and in their areas, and how bad I know it would have to be because of what the Bible tells me about it. When even people inside of the things of worship that come to see, when forces of darkness turn away from the great truth, turn people from the great truth, temporarily blinding them, when in the high positions of government and disloyalty, when in high positions of responsibility, the enemy is able to get those who have accepted his opinions, when a great nation of God's kingdom, a white race nation, a nation founded by white Christians whose constitution is developed by them, reaches a point of disintegration, reaches a point where they abandon the principles of our founding fathers and the interpretation of their law. No, in trouble. Now someone asked me, how can you prove it's a white race nation? Because every one of our founding fathers that drew up the Constitution of the United States was a white man. Now without any offense, as it relates to the Negroes as a race, they happen, some of them, to be here because the Jews were selling them here as slaves. They admit that in their book, Murano, published by the American Jewish Publication Society. The fact remains that our forefathers who drew up the Constitution of the United States drew it up to establish human liberty, and they did not consider that Negroes fell in this category, for the Constitution of the United States is not written for Negroes. Did you know that? Not at all. The Constitution of the United States were written for white men, and they believe that the white men constitutes its citizenship. Oh, you say a lot of things have happened like that. There's been a lot of changes. Civil war has been fought. Slavery was abolished and all of these factors. I'm telling you what our founding fathers prayed when they created the Constitution. I'm not talking about all the things that changed and slipped between here and there. I'm talking about what they designed. So when they said the Constitution is what certain people say it is today, the Constitution is what the man that wrote it intended it to be. So I tell you this tonight, you are a great nation of God's kingdom, but we're in trouble. We're in trouble when they can lift our schools and states where this is against the law. We're in trouble when they can tell an employer that he has to hire people of other philosophies, races, or creeds that he doesn't want to hire in his own place of business. We're in trouble when a commission can tell a railroad that it can't discharge an employee that was sleeping because they say the reason why he discharged you is because he was a member of another race. All these are symptoms of trouble. You're in trouble right here. You're in trouble when 33% of all the income produced by the citizens of the United States is taxed. And taxes, it goes away in taxes. 33%, you say, I don't pay that much tax. You do before you go through. 33% goes away in taxes. No nation has ever survived that before. And if you were to continue, you wouldn't survive it. I know we're in trouble when 5/6 of the world is beginning to rally behind the communist banner of Antichrist. I know we're in trouble when a conqueror and a ruler and a figure of power in that empire says, I'm going to bury you. We're in trouble. But I know that the Bible said it would be a time of such trouble for our race as we've never had before. Now, he didn't say, don't go to bed at night or stay up all night and worry about it. Well, he didn't say, stay up all night or pray about it either. Because he told you what was going to happen and how it was going to end. Someone said, well, when I get frightened enough, they'll stay up all night. Sure, some people will. I'm not asking you to get frightened. I'm asking you to be a realist. You've arrived at the time of the trouble. The Bible tells us world organizations be formed with Antichrist in power. I want you to know that the Bible said They will try to gain control of the world government, the other government. They'll try to silence the truth. They'll try to fold up the church. They'll try to martyr the children of God. But you've been blessed to be born in a great nation where the majority of world people are white and Christian, and they'll never let them get away with it if they know about it. But now let's look over the history of the world. You know, there were atomic wars brought upon this world with great fury in the past. Oh, you say, how could that be? We just broke the atom in 1945. We created the nuclear explosion that we started in Alamogordo and ended in Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Let me tell you something. Round here, where the surging waters of this Pacific Ocean stretched for thousands of miles, was a continent that plunged into the water. And out between the coast of West Africa and the United States, are masses of land which were once high above the water. And the catastrophe that shook the world was one great nuclear holocaust that ended eventually in chain reactions and rending explosions and the opening of the crust of the earth in areas where there was molten material and the waters of the oceans rushed in, and the steam and the explosions and the fury that transpired across whole continents to subside beneath the ocean's surface. Started chain reactions of volcanic explosions to let the waters of the oceans in and plunge these areas beneath the surface of the ocean. So they said, Dr. 4,000, you've been so sure of that. That happened thousands of years ago. You weren't there. You don't have the evidence of it. I don't find it in a book on geology. It's not being taught in school. No, that's all I have to show your book. If all the truth that there is to be taught were taught in school, they wouldn't have time for all the United Nations rubbish that they're teaching now. You see, I can tell that so simply and so easily. If you were to go out and you were to study the bottom of the ocean just off the edge of Earth, and across that area between there and Africa, in fact, it's so shallow, there's shoals there that we have to put buoys on, and part of that land mass is coming back up. Some of it that was much deeper in the water has now, in the last few years, been raised up until some of these are like rock promontories sticking out of the water. But divers and those that have been studying the bottom of the ocean tell us what's there. There are volcanic cones, and there are volcanic mountains with scarps of lava that run as far as 20 miles on the subcontinent that is beneath the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, I just want to tell you something. A volcano can run underwater and build up as it does in the Hawaiian Islands. But a volcano's lava won't run for a mile or 2 miles or 20 miles or 26 miles underwater. The moment that lava hits the water, it stops moving and builds up. The fact that those lava flows on the continent beneath the water just for 20 and 25 miles, 26 miles, proves that they were above the water when those lava scarps rose. Every geologist knows that. I'm not trying to prove a point, it's a geological fact. That all the running lava that lays out in long miles of runs were flowing on top of the water, on top of the land, above the water when it happened. More than that, there is on that ocean bottom, and that exists in place with lime and substance vegetation and material which belongs to areas of vegetation which have to live above the surface of the ocean and on planets or on continents such as your own forest. But you say we have no record, and we do have a record. The ancient Assyrians lived longer and reached back in their destiny before the sinking of the continent. The writings of the ancient Assyrians, and even in the Sanskrit that comes out of the peoples of the Upper Indus and the peoples of Asia, in the Sanskrit they have the records of catastrophes that enveloped an early civilization and the dwellers of the continents that went beneath the water. You know, the 12th chapter of Revelation tells us about how the ancient ages of yesterday an archangel rebelled against God, fought a battle, was defeated, was cast away. Strange enough, in the ancient Sanskrit and the ancient Asiatic peoples, they called their flying vessels and their flying ships Vimanas. They talked about how there were battles in the sky and how some of these ships came to earth and new gods arrived. They tell there about the land that plunged beneath the waters on two sides of the earth. They tell how great explosions and mighty fire, and how people died from the flash and from the light. They tell of the battles between the ships of space. They tell of the coming of the dark and curly heads, the first time Negroes were ever seen on the face of the earth, in the ancient records. But go back to the earliest histories of the people's remembrances in ancient India. It might be a matter of interest to you all the ancient Chinese had also records of the sinking of continents and the origin of their ancestors and of lands with walls, like later the Great Walls of China plunged beneath the waters of the Pacific. And we were to discover that when we were making investigations around Easter Island and found these great walls land for miles on the ocean floor. But we're not built there underwater, my friends, but we're built there when these continents were above the earth. Nuclear holocaust wiped out great civilizations in ancient times of peoples that were under the control and the pressure of a fallen archangel. And there were some that survived. The millenniums after this, in a world now distraught with violence and trouble, the Eternal Father sent the Adamic race, his own begotten offspring, physically into the world, that there might be bodies for the spirits of his children to dwell in. And you are members of that race. You are God's last great founded race way. You are the people of his own household, sent him to bring his kingdom. We have a lot more to say on that when we talk to you on the subject while we're here. Well, I want you to know that in 74 to 500 years of existence, you've arrived at the great trouble points in your career. You have existed as a society, you have developed, and you're one-sixth of the world's population, and the enemy would drive you from the face of the earth. Now, the power that was Lord in the heavens involved Lucifer, and Lucifer was defeated by a powerful archangel who had command of all God's hosts. This one was known as Michael the Archangel. Michael, the great archangel, commands the mighty priests of space. Somebody asked for an evaluation on how many there were of these great ships of space. Well, the universe is going for a long time. If you could measure all the 126 billion suns and multiply them by 10, as the electronic telescope now is able to photograph them, and go to the fabulous room, we'd see out beyond you a similar circle of creating forces. And for me to stand here and be presumptuous to tell you how many ships of space there is would be a very foolish thing. But for me to be ignorant enough to tell you that everybody that ever lived on the earth and evolved out of a mass of protoplasm by the multiple billions of chance that the evolution requires would be also in trouble. You are not alone. People may have thought they were alone until 1954, when a whole group of strange flying circular ships were seen flying in a bouncing manner over the mountains of the state of Washington. Earlier, a short time thereafter, when Captain Mantell had his ship torn apart by the backwash of the sea of a great craft moving into the sky, fully visible, there were a great number of military observers as they listened to him reporting until the rending of his ship and the disintegration of it. From that day to this, there have been uncounted sightings and photography and records and experiences concerning the visible demonstration that there are thousands of craft going around the earth, and these craft are faster and they're of different shapes and of different types than anything that we've developed in aircraft on the face of the earth. I know that branches of government have put silence upon board. I know that they gave the name flying saucer and spacecraft at once to all of these objects. Might not be too bad to said flying saucers since they were circular in shape. Some of them had saucer fittings, but since that time there have been many crafts that are not circular and of other types as well. From some strange reason, the same people that want to brainwash you in one type of political thinking want to brainwash you concerning the reality of what's going on around you. The manipulation from government authority, the statement that these things were not what they were supposed to be. And then there are omitted group of objects that men see are used as the excuse for what men will behold. We were told that they were atmospheric test balloons that came from the weather station. I guess almost all of us know what an atmospheric weather balloon looks like. I guess almost all of us know what an atmospheric weather balloon looks like. One knows that no matter how fast it blows over the earth, they don't move at 6,000 to 7,000 miles an hour, and they don't go against the wind. I think we all well understand that weather balloons don't show up at night, and these are not weather balloons. Of course, in your new technological age, no longer can you be sure that everything you see moving around in space is a spacecraft, because you've got so many satellites moving around the earth that half the time when you look in the heavens, there's one of them going in the direction that a star shouldn't move, or some other operation which you know is not normally natural. If you're out in the high desert and you're looking at the sky, hardly a night goes by that you will see two or three of these satellites moving across the sky in any direction. Sometimes they're going north, sometimes they're going east, sometimes they're traveling high in the west, but you know the stars and planets constantly move towards the west. You do well, but every time you see something going in another direction, then that is either a spacecraft or a satellite.
Let it be the aircraft flying low within the perimeters of normalcy with their flashing lights. Of course, you say, what is this to do with the subject we have before us? I'll tell you what that has to do with it. In the first place, you didn't arrive here without divine agency. You not only sent and started the spiritual transference of your children from heaven to earth, and you came by the mediums of birth, so let me tell you this. That there are coming down from your earth since you've been here, archangels, God himself was the embodiment of his own being, even before his virgin birth. There came to you mighty spacecraft and great ships filled with beings from outer space that came and administered unto you. They hovered over Mount Sinai and were told here in the book of Deuteronomy about how 10,000 of these celestial saints of the Most High assembled in their spacecraft above Mount Sinai when God gave the law. Did you know that was in Deuteronomy? And how God came in with them and sailed over areas of Paran and finally came and stood over the mountains and unveiled in the hour of that revelation the law to Moses. In fact, I'm going to tell you that a great number of these craft have been shrouded with clouds and held in the veil of this, but out of them will come the phenomena and the evidence of great and tremendous spiritual force. We have talked to you in the past of such phenomena. The star of Bethlehem that went before the wise men wasn't a star out in space. It was a starlight of heaven from a craft that went before them on the earth. You say, how do you know that? Because you couldn't follow a star far out in space, thousands upon thousands of miles, moving around to direct anybody on earth. And though it came from the heavens, that star was the light out of the heavens of celestial guidance. And I know there were a lot of people around at that time that came from outer space. I know angelic choirs that came from the farther distant places of the universe were gathered, for even as the shepherds were watching their flocks, the music came out of space around them and from the heavens above, and it says above them was assembled a great heavenly host. Now the heavenly host was on earth in the sky above them, they arrived from somewhere. Well, you say, well, they didn't tell us that. Who told you how they came? Daniel tells me 1,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands and leaves me up in the multiple millions and millions and millions and billions until you can't compute it. Or just some of those streaks of fire that go out from before the throne of God and Michael the Archangel to command them. So he says, Dr. Fitz, you believe all these things that are said about spacecraft and messengers? No, I don't believe hardly any of them. What do you know about that? Oh, I see some people pull their face. They don't like that. Because I think one of the biggest racket businesses on the face of the earth is for some individual to speak here and there and say he just got off a spaceship and goes from outer space and then try to tell you how to live. And then he asks that question. Sell a book. I don't know what this hurts your feelings, but anybody that comes from outer space has to take a question and sell a book is not a heavenly sent messenger because he don't have to have it. I'm not talking about the conduct of the church or the ministers of God who are his messengers and his oracles, because he told you that their support and the support of the church is by tithe and offering. They're dwelling in physical bodies, they're living here, and they are subject to the conditions and necessities under which the earth operates. But not so the host of the heaven. Anybody who's smart enough to get here with a spaceship, my friends, isn't going to tell somebody in a corner down the little room. He's going to proclaim it to the people of God who wait for the voice, and he's going to let the whole nation know it. When God wants to speak to you and people, the whole trumpet's going to sound, and all the sons of God are going to hear about it. Well, that sends these people to, oh, yeah, but I went to a meeting, and I heard him. He was a prince, and he was this, and he was that. I don't care what you heard. The Lord bears witness with me that every one of these things is phony. Except, my friends, it goes out to the readers of God's people, and reaches the people that believe and look through the pitting, and declares the things which they're waiting to hear. And it says, you mean to say that you don't believe anybody's ever made contact? Don't they? No, one day an archangel came with a special message and made contact with Daniel. He said, I have quite a battle to get here, for the prince of the powers of the air, a demonic force, over the land of Persia, was with me for 21 days. Now, listen. I happen to know that the scripture bears record of how Ezekiel saw these great objects that came in great formation, circular wheels, even in use. How he heard the roar as they passed through our atmosphere that sounded like many waterfalls. I know how they moved together, how they had portholes
around about how these were the eyes through which men saw, the eyes round about, how they landed in formation, how the door opened, how God himself walked out. They had a throne there for him, and one sat on it. He looked like the incarnate God. Rainbow round his head, the right of right. Ezekiel fell right down and said, "This is where I get off and worship. Come on, Ezekiel. They're in the presence of the Most High. Now you've got a work to do." Before they got through, they took him on board. They folded him over to another land. They sent him down. They taught him things and showed him things and sent him back. And Ezekiel is a prophet of the Most High God, whose prophetic message is so accurate that he even named for you the fact that Russia and these areas of Africa would be your enemies in this last time when Antichrist rose up, and when the enemies of Jesus Christ started their world communist philosophy, and when the Marxist Jews produced the enemy, they would gather these countries to make them their base, and Ezekiel told you about it. Someone said, "How do we know that Ezekiel took the trip?" Because Ezekiel said he took the trip, and Ezekiel told the truth. And I'm going to tell you this. That God, when he moves, all through the record of his history, he moves with the leaders of his people. He moves with his prophets. He moves with his ministers. He moves where the voice and the oracle of his word is expected. And I'm going to tell you that in this hour, there is a great and mighty remnant. Now, the word remnant doesn't just mean a little piece torn off of something. Some people got the idea of remnant is just a little piece of cloth torn off a big one. But the word that used for remnant means all that remains. And the Lord says, "I have a great number of all that remain that have not bowed to thee to Baal in this hour." And the people that have not bowed to thee to Baal are people down inside this body and inside this consciousness by the spiritual guidance and awakening God stirred and created that just you opposed to all this evil, and it stirs within them until they can't go along with what's going on. So he says, "I don't know what's the matter with me, Dr. Smith. The people around me seem to be satisfied and complacent. But I'm against half the things I hear on television and radio. I'm half the measures they say are for the good of the world, and I'm against them. What's the matter with me?" Because you're right. You're against this thing that's wrong, and the process that's wrong, and you're a part of the enemy that haven't bowed to me to Baal. You're not going to give up your principles and your faith and what God has said. You're not going to give up your religion, your identity, and the embodiment of Jesus Christ as the fullness of God. You're not going to share in with all the false gods in the face of the earth and let you just eat you with them. There's a resentment in you against every evil Baal doctrine and practice. You are those that have not bowed to me to Baal. You can't get out of it. And it is through you that the light awakening and the calling of the resurrection of your nation is going to come. Suppose I tell you that out of the awakening came to God that we go along with socialism, that we go along with this new deal with religion, new frontierism, or anything else that embraces any principle that doesn't walk the chalk line of divine destiny, blessing, and glory. I'm going to tell you it is those people that are going to save America. It is those people that are going to help lead the nation in the world. And it is to those people that God will send his message. Now, every once in a while someone comes to me with another faith revelation, another pamphlet, goes into another convention, another star has appeared on the scene, and he's made trips, he's flown in space, he's done this, he's done that. Well, since Jesus went away and the great cloud covered vehicles above the mountain where he left his disciples, and they stood watching while two men step out to see the cloud and talk to them. And since John and Paul took their heavenly ships and came back, I don't have many records of any of your race that have taken any ships outside the earth. I have ample evidence, however, that in the dimension of spirit, a great number of people have passed into that plane and found that all the forces of heaven were real close to them, round about, and they couldn't see them. And I'm not attempting to tell you tonight that the vast distances of space do not contain planets and areas in the universe to which you will have full access. Nor would I speak to say to you tonight that there is another spiritual stimuli working in the seats of inventors and ingenious that is produced today with science of energy and electronics, and the tying together of commodities and elements and substances, and that we've made out of metals, and we've made out of substances of earth, and out of plastics, and out of the dust of the earth, all kinds of resistors and transistors and little devices which we harness to make great machines which we can hurl ourselves into space with, or we can move into new horizons. We have made mechanical brains subject to our creation, They have taken the substances of the earth and blended them together until we're getting more and more thrust out of our fuels, and our advanced scientists are studying flows of force which will make it possible for us to hurl ships through the air with the electromagnetic flows of force in space without fuel. You're on the edge of all those things. I believe if you were to give your race 20 years of development without any wars, that you would be flying into space with your own inventions and moving beyond your own solar system. But at the present time, your energies are also diverted to the fact that we are harnessing much of our discoveries to survival. Someone said the other day, Dr. Smith, we have a lot to worry about with the Russians getting ahead of us in space. The Russians never found out anything, my friends, that they didn't steal through subversion and through spies from the minds of intellect to the children of God. Then they harness those things and those stolen secrets while their agents suppress your government and its development or its operation while they project. I have the report of military expert after military expert. He said, if red tape hadn't held us up and kept us from going ahead, we'd have been ahead of the Russians all the way. All right, let me tell you this. In this hour in which we see all these things developing, the first problem of your enemy is to destroy your power and take over the earth. That's your number one problem in the defense field and in survival. But I know that the reason why Lucifer is on the earth is as told to me in Revelation and as it was declared by Jesus. He saw Satan fall out of the heavens. He was defeated by Michael in outer space. He's regathered his force, the minions of his power. He's affected the earth for thousands upon thousands of years before you've arrived. He's waged war against your race, and the hour it has arrived. Now he's marshaling his forces. I'm going to tell you something that's believed by a great many scientific observers, a great number of navigators in the air, and a great number of experts, that there are powers of darkness that are also around about us in the air. That there are nevermost forces which are coming from their holes in the earth somewhere, which are diametrically opposed to our interests. They also are responsible for the strange phenomena and the monster-like patterns of strange goblin-like beings that have appeared at various parts of the earth. You may think I'm strange tonight in what I'm telling you, but I haven't time to go into all the details. I can give you instant ramifications of which are astounding, of creatures unearthly and strange and unusual powers of darkness and evil force that have manifested themselves since 1954 in various parts of the earth. But I can tell you that the majority of these craft that are moving into the vastness and distance of space are not hostile to you. They are the hosts that are answerable to Michael the Archangel. They are the armies of the Most High God that are standing by. They have the solution for a lot of things that you don't have the time to do yourself. This, my friends, is an exaggeration when I listen to the words of God, who said at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of my people, and there shall be such a time of trouble as there never has been since there was a nation. And even at that same time, thy people, every one of the children of living God, shall be delivered, every one whose name has been found written in that book which they wrote before the foundation of the world, and nothing you've had to do has anything to do with it. Now, I could go on and tell you about some other incidents that are going to happen, about the time that these mighty hosts of spacecraft come in, and it talks about the 12th chapter of Revelation also as a part of the forces of Michael. About that time, even the mighty powers of God are going to be joined with it. For as Michael comes in with his forces, so also would the embodied Christ come in with his forces. It says here the very dead are going to rise up out of the dust of the earth. That's going to be a lot of power. There is a constant and continual review of the committed promises of your Father, the eternal God, that I'm going to stand before my armies, I'm going to intervene in human affairs, I'm going to bring in the host of heaven, I'm going to bring in ships, I'm going to bring in warriors, I'm going to bring in kinsmen, I'm going to bring in power. Instead of being outnumbered in the earth, you're going to outnumber the enemy with an overwhelming force. You know, that's good enough for these unbelievers that tell us there isn't a God. For these communists who shake their fists in the face of God and say that we have banished him from the earth. Well, one of these days, these banishing people are going to stand before the dread vision of the mighty host of the Most High, and on their knees, they're going to break their swords and surrender to the God they say doesn't exist. The book of Revelation continued in its direction to make this known to you. John the Revelator, who has already traveled across the timeless expanse of God's foreknowledge and vision, that has been not on the time track that the earth dimensions on has already seen the end of this thing and visualizing witnesses. He said, I saw suddenly a great and mighty army coming out of heaven. The great fleets of them. So who are they? Well, there are armies. Some of them are your citizens. Some of them may be your relatives that have gone on. They're all coming back, you know, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. They're even going to be rejoined with every atom of their being that filled their bodies at one time. But they're coming back, a great and mighty army. Suppose I tell you every white man that fought in every white man's army, from the days that go back to the prophets and to the time of the days of Samuel, and the days of the armies of Saul and of David, or fought in the days of Joshua and Gideon, suppose I tell you every man of your race that has fought from the days when you battled against all the barbarian forces of the earth, on down to the armies which are yours, and that of Britain and of Germany, through the battles that have been fought in our contemporary times, suppose I tell you every one of those warriors are coming back. Oh, you say, Dr. Fisk, the blood will not come back. There are no dead in the children of God and in the flesh. So we'll be back. More than that, in the hour that John saw, he saw now the great cry was that now God is going to even out this judgment upon the enemy for all the martyrdoms and troubles that caused you and all the things that have taken life in your race. And here I read in the book of Revelation that John saw all the armies of heaven coming back, and in this hour, as he describes the return of these armies, he said, hey, I beheld the great flagship of all these. I heard the words that said the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord Yahweh and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And I heard it declared that this Christ of God, with the many sons and daughters, and the priests and kings of the Most High, they were you, and you were going to reign upon the earth forever and ever. I turned to passage after passage in the book of Revelation, but that's this constant and continual pattern, and always I see the same revelation. I saw the heavens open. I saw he that read this. His eyes were illuminated with great glory. On his head were all the crowns. No man could name this name, except he had the spiritual capacity to identify he from a Yahweh. I saw that his vesture was dipped with blood. His name was the eternal Logos, the mighty Word of God. The armies which were of heaven followed him. The symbol of their strength and military power is likened to the massive numbers of white horses of power. In every nation, there wasn't a part of his kingdom melted before him. Every single power that was against the kingdom of God tried to make war against it. I tell you, phenomenal as this way seems, the powers of darkness are actually planning and would plan to make war against Christ and heavenly armies if they see them coming in the sky. I happen to know in one of the Russian assemblies, with the pagan nations that make up that group of nations that are around it, that they actually discussed the possibility of space invasion and wondered if that wouldn't be a way to even bring the Christian nations and other nations suddenly united with them to surrender under the threat that a space invasion would require them all standing together to defend the earth. And in that discussion, the discussion was brought around to the point that they were afraid that there might be an invasion from forces in far-off space that would line up on our side. And that they planned that they would challenge this power. Tells me in the book of Revelation that in that hour, that these assembled companies of evil, the beast nations, the non-Christian societies, the communist and pagan world, would gather their armies together and try to make war against Jesus Christ, the armies of heaven, and the spacecraft that arrive. Now that's insanity, but they're going to try it. If you don't think that the nations of this world that don't have Christianity are insane, I tell you, just look at the insanity of some people in the nations of the kingdom. No, it takes the FBI more than 30 days to round up all the communists. They probably couldn't find them, but it'll take the armies of heaven just a twinkling of an eye to round up all the enemies. You say, how do you know? Well, because they have a spiritual discernment. They can look down and know where every one of them is listed. Did you know that they've got a record in the dimension of spirit? And you know in the heavenly armies of the Most High that under the command of Michael, there is an angel with a responsibility, and he's got a record and knows every apartment house, and he knows every dwelling place of every Jew and every Luciferian descendant and every power of darkness and every enemy of Jesus Christ and every Christian nation. You know they know right where they are? You know, they've got power in the craft that they carry, and power by directivity to snap any one of these individuals and dematerializing there and putting right inside their own little concentration camp in their own vehicle. Do you know right now that the armies of faith that gather out every offending individual that's not a part of God's kingdom, gather them right up, snatch them right up? So the deal here would be that I think they could be drawn up just as fast as the sun draws the water. Now I got something I want to tell you. They're going to go just like that. Going to gather out every sinner, every single offense, every one of these stars, God, going to take them where they belong. Going to set them aside for a while, bring them out of the way. So it can't be done. It can be done. Deliver it from heaven. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people were ruled 1 hour with a beast. Actually took the mark in their forehead as they gave assent to their plans and put their hands to doing it. There's going to be some people that are going to be surprised to find it going along with them. Not only the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all those that took them up. They're going to go low for a while for an educational program. A very firm one, a very necessary one. I want you to know that what is standing by you tonight, unlimited heavenly power. What a day of one of the officials of a German community, deep in the heart of Western Germany. A rural community with woodlands and meadows nearby was out in his motorcycle and hand car for a drive through the countryside with his daughter. And they saw light or an intensive illumination. And it was in the fields in a little cluster of woods flying out, and they became interested and think it was that it thought it open to entry while they just parked their motorcycle and they walked over to see what was there. Well, they saw a great round circular ship swimming like a saucepan, and it had a sort of cabin-like structure, a part of its floating lines on top. And while they stood there, two individuals clothed in a silvery-like metallic cloth, radiant, eminent in the light, walked out of the woodland, walked over to the ship, and climbed up the deck and then entered into it. And about that time, one of the two Germans coughed, and the individual turned towards them, went into the ship, and the object went away at such speed they said he would have sounded. Not 10 years ago, not 5 years ago, just the other day. As it hovered over the trees and disappeared, other Germans in the community nearby saw the thing and also reported it as to the mayor and his daughter as they told what happened. That's only something current, and I tell it to you because it's not 10 years ago, it's something that just happened. Someone said, did the Russians make it? No, the Russians didn't make it. They haven't been able to invade the areas of heaven's technology. They haven't stolen any secrets up there yet. You see, there are no Jews in heaven, and they can't find out the answer. You say, how do you know? Because Jesus says, where I go, you Jews shall come. Agree as well. So I tell you this tonight. You're not alone in the universe. The powers of the heavens are on your side. And you're going to need all the help you can get. And they're also doing two things. They're going to stimulate your mind. They're going to raise up leadership. They're going to give you protection. But they're calling on you to resist. You start fighting, God will back you up. You move with faith, God will back you up. You move against the evil, God will back you up. You know, one of the great errors of our time exists in some of the fallacies of our policies. You know, a free trade and reciprocal trade agreements that broke down our tariff barriers made this great blessed society of God and its commerce ministry have to compete with all of the pagan slave labor governments of the earth. It was bad enough when we had under Cordell Hull and Secretary of State a reciprocal trade agreement. Then we came to a period in which the reciprocal tariff act had been passed by Congress and it was not progressed, in which they set aside tariffs and they made American industry compete with all of the cheap slave labor of these other countries of the world. Now on the 30th of June that runs out. Mr. Ball, an economic advisor to the president, and Mr. Herder, who used to be Secretary of State, who's working on a commission, has just drawn up a new measure that is now being presented, which would create an authority in the hands of the President to make all the agreements to open up complete free trade and throw out all tariffs in order to make better relations with the world. You see how completely the enemy fights to destroy the last vestige of your industry and of your production and of your wage sales? That's the plan. Mr. Kennedy, under this strange advice, but hopes that they will quickly give him this power so that he can break down the barrier between me and all other nations for goodwill. But all the intelligent nations of Europe have just reformed a new economic grouping, and they're putting up tariffs to protect themselves. And at the same time, you're going the other direction like you because they know it will be the economic part of resistance. Now, we tell you this. that they get away with these things, but the Spirit of God moves on them. It's being made known. And in the next few days, it's going to be a great trouble across the nation. But now listen. It's an economic war, political war, social war, and military war, and a racial invasion of your society. But in all these things, you've been promised deliverance by heaven. Heaven is determined that when the demonstrations of spiritual power and phenomena that heavenly forces will assist in producing take place, that even the Canaanites in your land will run out to sheer fear, and you'll be awakened simultaneously with great disturbance and with anger at the things that have been committed. You know, when the 80% of America that you sleep wakes up, what a noise that's going to make. You ever thought about that? If we tell you they're going to all awaken out of their sleep. If they have to blow the trump of God, they're going to wake up. So we tell you in this hour that your great destiny and the security of God's covenant envelops the hope of the help of heaven. Now there isn't any doubt for when Michael and his angels move in, when it becomes a prophesying, they're going to make their contact with all earth units of God's family. There's going to be a coordination of heaven and earth. And the powers of the earth are going to be shaken, but the kingdom is going to survive. We are not, my friends, placing evaluations on something non-existent. I've talked to too many aircraft engineers who have witnessed things in the space. I've talked to scientists and astronomers. I've visualized what they have had to say. I have looked through great telescopes to watch ships in space moving far out in the solar system around the moon, and I have looked at the measure of their movement through space. I've looked at photographs through our great telescope. I have photographed spacecraft with my own cameras, and I bear witness tonight that you're not alone, but God runs his universe, and you haven't anything to worry about concerning the divine assistance is going to come in on time. So the earth looks up to an appalling evaluation of a great cloud of fallout moving around the earth. Japan had to filter the water today. The fallout in their reservoirs made too dangerous to drink. They're very, very angry. Their areas and paths where fallout has been falling, that has been more concentrated than we have had here. So far, over the cities of America, there is no fallout that has endangered the health of your nation. But I want you to know that there are other forces that work for you. There are strange belts of winds in the heavens that shift and move and shatter the elements even of such a struggle away from you. God can protect you from every weapon and crisis that the enemy can produce. And I am convinced tonight that the best fallout shelter in the world are the promises of God's presence and his protection. I am convinced tonight that the children of God will survive when the doubting prophecy has surrendered their lives to fear. And so we say this tonight. Don't let anybody scare you out of doing your Christian duty. Don't let anyone frighten you about the fact that the government is going to turn upon the children of the kingdom, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The children of the kingdom are going to change government when it becomes necessary.
The talk you have just heard was entitled, Help from Heaven. I am sure that anyone looking at the world today will realize that without such help, we are doomed. But God is not mocked. The kingdom of God will come on schedule and will come to pass exactly as prophesied in the Bible. Please remember Lorraine Tripp in your prayers and giving. Until we come again unto your home via the Tate Ministry, we say goodbye and may God richly bless you.